So as the title says, this is the table of the Lord, the communion table. I have to say, it is the most enjoyable part of any teaching I do, because the subject and the focus at this table is on Jesus Christ. And where great truths are presented, be aware there is also great abuse of that truth that takes place. And I don't know if there's any place where truth has been more abused than at this communion table. And done in the church. At the time that Jesus put full meaning to the Passover, it was a simple act. He took bread and broke it and blessed it and broke it. He took the cup, blessed it, and said, drink. They were simple acts. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that as often as we do this, we are to do it in remembrance of Christ. And that we are to how do I handle this? That we are to do it worthily. Now, Paul doesn't say we're to do it worthily. Let me explain. He says, having a tough time getting to that page, isn't that interesting? He says in the 27th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, most in the church, or many in the church, change that word and say unworthy, changing the word from an adverb, which modifies the act, to an adjective, which describes the actor. And he describes what partaking unworthily is when he says, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, because of translations, the opportunity to abuse this table, has happened, because it says in the 28th verse, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. And therefore, you know, the preacher will get up and, you know, say, now examine yourself to see whether you're worthy. Ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters of God, let me be unequivocal in this statement. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. At this table, what we recognize is that we are made worthy by Jesus Christ and what he did. I want to take you this morning to the 9th chapter of Hebrews and just read a few verses and then attempt to give full meaning in context of this table. It says in the 25th verse, speaking of Jesus, and let me do what I've done before, change the pronoun to the proper name, nor yet that Jesus should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the, King James says, in the end of the world, in the fullness of time, is a better translation, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, King James says, without sin unto salvation. At this table, we look to Christ, who offered himself once, bearing the sins of many. Here's the truth. From cover to cover, the Bible teaches us that sin is what separated us from God. And the Bible says, for sin comes death. At this table, we are looking unto Jesus, who kinned himself with us, because there was a law that only one near of kin could redeem that which was lost. And only one who had the price, and the price was a perfect life, which describes the fleshly life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being without spot or blemish, he then had the price. Not only did he kin himself with us, but he had the price. And it says in the 25th verse that he should offer. This is was a willing act. And it wasn't with the blood of others, but with his own blood. It says in the 26th verse, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This table, as we look through this cup, which is a symbol of his blood, of which Leviticus says the life of the soul is in the blood. The cup represents the life. The life was perfect. The life was adequate to God, that we might be redeemed and restored in and through Jesus Christ to God our Father. That which separated us from God, sin, was laid on Christ. Not only the sins of yesterday, not only the sins of today, but the sins of tomorrow, the sins that we will commit until God comes and changes this mortal into immortal, and changes this corrupt unto incorrupt. Every sin of all mankind Christ, it says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins blessed of God, privileged recipient of God's favor, who at this table look not at ourselves, but at Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did, as represented by the cup. But it says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. So it doesn't say all. I said all. The book says all. It says he found the treasure in the field and sold all that he had and bought the whole field that he might take the treasure out of it. Bear the sins of many. Who are they? Unto them that look for him. And look to him. And this table, as Paul said, as oft as we take it. Them that look to him shall he appear the second time. The King James, I think, doesn't do a very good translation here. The second time without sin. No, not without sin. He shall appear a second time, not for sin. The first time he came to redeem us. The second time he comes, it is to complete our salvation. I've often said of this word salvation, not only is it complete, but at the same time, it is a process. And part of that process that we are going through is looking unto him, is remembering him. There is no guilt at this table. He bare the sins of many. And from this teaching, and let me just complete the thought. He shall appear a second time, not for sin, but unto salvation. With Calvary facing him imminently, Jesus talking to his disciples in the 14th chapter of John says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. This is that appearing the second time. Sons and daughters of God, away with guilt at this table as we look to Jesus and what he has done. And we take this cup with discernment and thereby partaking worthily with the understanding we are made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you take this cup thanking God for his grace unto you? Take it in Jesus. Amen. That is, without doubt. Two elements at this table. There's also the broken bread. Not required in the laws of the sacrifice. But as Jesus offered himself first and foremost, because of love of the Father, he offered his broken body, that is, that whipped, tormented, body that through his stripes we might be healed. He did this to expound on his love for us also as we by faith continue on this journey. God would have us whole. He would have us healthy. And he tells us this. And at this table, which we participate by faith, understanding the promises of God in Christ, not only do we understand that he took upon himself all our sins, but he also, Isaiah declares, Matthew declares, Peter declares, took upon himself all our sicknesses and infirmities. And we, by faith, grabbing hold of that promise in Christ at this table, we because the heart believes, we make declaration with the mouth that with his stripes, and put it faith like David did, faith puts things in the past tense, and we say, as Peter, looking back at the event, said, with his stripes, we were healed. Take it by faith, giving thanks unto Jesus.